Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, You Can Count on God. Amen. You can count on God. We are studying 2 Peter on Sunday mornings this summer, and I hope that you have been able to be with us for the messages before today. If you have not, those are available and archived on YouTube, and so you can go back and see them if you like. Last Sunday morning, Brother Ronnie introduced us to the false teachers in this church. And if you have your Bibles open, you will see there in chapter 2, and specifically in verse 1, that they were guilty of denying God. The Lord. That was their main problem. These were individuals within the church who claimed to be followers of Christ, but in some way they were denying the Lord. Were they denying His deity? We're not certain. Were they denying His humanity? We're not certain. Were they denying His lordship? We're not certain. But regardless, if they were denying any of those, His deity, His humanity, or His lordship, those are all heresies. Furthermore, not only were they guilty of denying the Lord, but they were extremely greedy for money. They sought to exploit the other church members. And looking there in verse 3, by covetousness they exploit you with deceptive words. Because they were so greedy and because they so much wanted other people's money, they would lie in order to steal. And their end result was certain. You'll find some form of the word destruction four times in those first three verses. You'll find the word destructive and destruction in verse 1. In verse 2, again, destructive. And in verse 3, destruction. The Lord's judgment on them was not up for debate. It would be destruction. This morning, we are continuing to look at, as will also be true next Sunday morning, some characteristics of these false teachers. But again, I want you to hear this word of encouragement that Peter also has for us this morning. You can count on God. You may be here this morning wondering if that is true. Your life, your situation, your circumstances, you might be wondering, can I count on God? And again, I proclaim to you absolutely, positively, yes, you can. And I want to show you how Peter tells us the same this morning from 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4 and through verse 9. If you have found 2 Peter chapter 2 this morning, I invite you to stand in honor of God's word and follow along as I read in the New King James Version, beginning in verse 4 of 2 Peter 2 and reading through the end of verse 9. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you for the access and the copies of your word that we have available to us this morning. Let us, over these next few moments, make sure that our eyes are open and our ears are open and our hearts are receptive to hear the word that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. You can count on God. First of all, you can count on God to deliver the godly. You can count on God to deliver the godly. Now, in the language of the New Testament, verse 4 through verse 9 is all one sentence. And so that makes for us a little bit more difficult of a task, because this morning in verses 4 through 9 in our English translations, this becomes a compound and a complex sentence. But really the main points are found all the way at the end of today's text in verse 9. And the first, again, is this: you can count on God to deliver the godly. That's what verse 9 says. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And Peter even gives us some examples. And that's how this sentence and our text begins. The examples of how you can know, because of what he did in the past, you can be certain of what he's going to do in the future. And he delivered a man named Noah. Look there in verse 5. Peter says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. That word, saved, means to guard unto safety. And you know the story. God saved Noah, one of eight people. So let's remember who those eight were. Noah and his wife, and then three sons and their three wives. And so one of eight, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Peter is talking about that global flood. And yes, brothers and sisters, it was a global flood. It was a catastrophe above all catastrophes that has never been repeated again, because God promised it wouldn't be. And it's found in the very first book of our Bibles, Genesis. By the way, after Labor Day, our Wednesday morning men's and women's Bible studies, beginning in September, we'll be studying Genesis 1 through 11. And so if your schedule will allow, and I know that everyone's will not, but if your schedule will allow, I invite you to be a part of that on Wednesday mornings. But take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter 7. And let's be reminded for just a moment of how the Lord delivered the godly. Genesis chapter 7, look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." And then if you will skip to verse 23 of Genesis 7. So he, God, destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Isn't it interesting, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, how the ark is a foreshadowing of the cross? If you were going to be saved in Noah's day, then you had to come into the ark. And if you are going to be saved today, you have to be in Christ. The ark, Genesis 7, pointing to, looking forward to, foreshadowing the cross of Christ. And Noah was saved then, and today, ladies and gentlemen, if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, you can be saved today by receiving Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. God saved Noah. But also in 2 Peter chapter 2, God delivered Lot. Look at verse 7 of 2 Peter 2. And delivered righteous Lot. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, you should probably read Peter's statement with a little bit of confusion on your face. Because if you know anything about Lot in Genesis 18 and 19, he was anything but perfect. And he was certainly not the poster boy for godliness. But he was righteous nonetheless, because like Abraham, he believed God. He believed God. and it was credited to him as righteousness. And yet, Lot lived a life of depravity, offering up his own daughters for those who wanted to abuse him. Not only was he depraved, but he was a drunk. And not only was he a drunk, he was drugged out of Sodom and Gomorrah because he wasn't willing to leave initially. And yet, Peter, on two different occasions, once in verse 7 and once again in verse 8, calls him righteous. Which allows me to make this point today. Brothers and sisters, there is only one hero of the Bible. It is not Noah. It is not Abraham. It is not Moses. It is not David. It is not Solomon that you heard about this morning from Ecclesiastes. It is not Mary, and it is not Peter, and it is not John, and it is not Paul. There is only one hero of the Bible, and his name is Jesus. And you will do yourself a favor not trying to live according to anyone's life in God's Word or anyone's life in this room, but live your life according to Jesus. Because he's the only hero of the Bible. And all of the Bible points to that one hero, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God delivered Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. At that particular point in time and in that particular moment, Lot looked around and he was grieved. And he heard and he was grieved. And he felt and he was grieved. But you can count on God. Because God delivers the godly. And so be encouraged. And not only does God deliver the godly, but God will destroy the godless. God will destroy the godless. Look again at verse 9 of 2 Peter 2. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust or the godless under punishment for the day of judgment. That phrase, under punishment, in the language of the New Testament carries this idea of continuous action. When it begins, it's going to continue and continue and continue, and we know for eternity. You can count on God that not only will he deliver the godly, but you can count on God. He will destroy the godless. And in the same way that he gave us examples and said, you can know what I'm going to do in the future by what I've done in the past. He gave us three examples. Look at verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels. There were some angels. Verse 4 says, they sinned, but God cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. What angels were these? It's hard to know for certain. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 10 and verse 18. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There are some that believe that these angels here in 2 Peter 4 are a reference to the original fall, Satan and his angels. That seems to also be referenced in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. It's possible, but we don't know for certain. Because the second and third examples that I will show you in just a moment are from the book of Genesis, there are others who believe that these angels are in Genesis 6 and describe a very controversial scene where angels procreate with humanity. But regardless, God destroys the godless. And the first example that he gives is some angels. But a second example that he gives is there in verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world. So again, it's this idea of the global flood, and we know that he delivered the godly, Noah and his family, and at the same time, he destroyed the godless. Go back to Genesis for just a moment. Genesis chapter 6 this time. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5, 6, and 7. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. And so the ancient world, even though he saved Noah and his family, the only godly, he destroyed the godless. And then the third example. First example, some angels. Second example, the ancient world. Third example, Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story. Genesis 18 and 19. Those individuals wanting to engage in homosexual immorality, and God destroying the godless of Sodom and Gomorrah. Brothers and sisters, you can count on God. You can count on God to deliver the godly. And you can count on God to destroy the godless. And so let me conclude this morning by encouraging you in this way. Be confident. Be confident today that you can count on God. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be anxious. God will never let you down. You can count on God. And also be comforted today. Be comforted today that If you name the name of Christ, then you are under that umbrella of the godly. And be comforted in knowing that God will deliver the godly. But let me, the last thing I say to you this morning, let me also encourage you to be cautious. Be cautious. There have been those who have described these three examples here in 2 Peter chapter 2 as it relates to God's judgment, that the angels represent the height of God's judgment, that the ancient world represents the breadth of God's judgment, and Sodom and Gomorrah represent the depth of God's judgment. But remember, what was the sin of the angels? Pride. Anyone here this morning guilty of pride? What was the sin of the ancient world? Living your life as if God doesn't exist. Anybody here this morning guilty of living your life as if God doesn't exist and there consequently will be no consequences? And the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Say, Brother Richard, I'm not guilty of homosexual immorality, but what about heterosexual immorality? Are you guilty of that? Pornography, fornication, infidelity, just as much sin as homosexual immorality. Be cautious, brothers and sisters. And one last passage of Scripture, please turn to Luke chapter 13. We become very good at pointing to the sins of others. And yet, you have heard it said, and it is absolutely true. Remember that when you are pointing to the sins of others, that there are three fingers pointed back at you. Be cautious. Luke chapter 13. Jesus' audience was very good pointing at the sins of others. And what did Jesus say to them? Verse 2, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Be cautious, brothers and sisters. Be cautious that you are so in tune with the sins of others that you fail to remember the sinner in the mirror. But you can count on God. Let's pray together. This morning, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we want to give you an opportunity to respond publicly to God's word. And in just a few moments after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing together all across the auditorium, and I will be here at the front. And if today you would answer God's calling on your life to be saved, Like the ark, the only salvation for Noah was in the ark, and today the only salvation for you is in Christ. So today, if you would answer that call to salvation, I would invite you to step out in one of these aisles and come and greet me here at the front. I would love to celebrate with you and pray with you and counsel with you. Maybe you are here today and God's Word and His Spirit have convicted you of sin in your own life. Maybe it was a sin of pride, or maybe it was a sin of ungodliness, or maybe it was a sin of immorality. And maybe today you need to publicly recommit your life unto the Lord. I would welcome you this morning to come. You may be a guest with us today, visiting Emory Baptist Church. And God's Holy Spirit is leading you to formally unite with this church through church membership. We'd love to welcome you today. And we'll take care of the details of what that means with your consultation. Maybe you just simply need to come and pray this morning. And I hope you'll feel the freedom for that. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful that we can count on you. Thank you, Lord, that we can count on you to deliver the godly. We can count on you in your justice to destroy the godless. And Father, let us live cautiously with hearts of repentance so that we are not guilty of the sins of others. Father, we love you. We're grateful for your love for us. We commit this time of invitation to you. Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, would you come today on the very first stanza and respond to God's word?